Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
SunDevilSource.com's Chris Cartman is now, and then Grayson Grunhafer in the next segment, and then Ryan Andrade. We'll talk Final Four with us after this. And Chris, Arizona State this spring, last year obviously was very difficult, and they had the bowl ban, and it felt like right at the beginning it kind of cast a pall over the whole season. But Big 12, Jaden Rashada, some depth behind him at quarterback. Is there booming optimism with Kenny Dillingham and the guys right now?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like the team is a lot deeper, bigger, stronger, especially up front on both sides of the ball. They've added four Division I offensive transfer line, offensive linemen, five defensive linemen. You see more physical, competitive practices. I think their O-line is legitimately 9 or 10 deep now, which in the spring is kind of a rare thing historically at ASU. Brought in Sam Levitt from Michigan State. He's talented. He's a little bigger than I thought, a little more athletic than I thought. He's got a good arm. Got to learn the system and sort of embrace a lot of the mental maturity, student of the game aspects, but Rashada is out for the spring with a hand injury. He said that he tore a tendon in his thumb while he was moving apartment. So he's not been able to practice, but he's been out there every day taking mental reps and everything. And I do think that there's going to be a quarterback competition that unfolds between those two guys.
Chris, so what's kind of the message of spring for Kenny Dillingham? What's sort of the theme, I guess, if you will, as they try to build off what was obviously a very difficult year last season?
Well, they want to raise the minimum standards and the expectations internally. Last year it was about showing up on time and making sure that you did everything that you were just bare bones supposed to do. And now that's not good enough. That culture was set in the first year. They weren't able to translate that into success on the football field. So now you got to do extra. You got to be, stay after practice, work with your teammates on things, extra time in the film room, watching stuff on your iPad, getting in the weight room, doing a little bit more, skill development aspects. And the guys have really seemed to embrace that. There's been a lot of guys after practices staying out for 10, 15 minutes, doing some extra walkthroughs and install work on their own. And a lot of these players that have come in are veterans. A lot of them started or played a lot elsewhere. And so I feel like just the overall expectations internally have risen a lot this year.
Chris, first of all, Jaden Rashada has got an NIL deal. He can't hire, they can't get a movers to help him move apartments if this doesn't happen?
That's what I said, right? I mean, why are you lifting a heavy box and trying to do a bunch of stuff yourself? He's got a deal with a local car dealership. He's got a nice truck. He's got some other things going on. You can't get hurt moving boxes, is what I would say.
No, like, I get it when you're 18, 19 years old. You move yourself. I understand. I we've all done it many times, but also when you have the money, you hire movers because that's why they exist, so you don't throw your back out or tear a ligament in your all-important thumb. What would you – I mean, like, honestly, obviously, that only two wins last year, it's going to be tough to say what's the biggest problem. But what do you think is the biggest problem they'd have to solve before spring is over?
Well, before spring is over, I don't know that they're going to resolve it necessarily, but the quarterback situation is the most pressing and the thing that, in my opinion, just given the importance of the position, right, and the inexperience of the option behind Trenton Bourget, who doesn't have a high ceiling, I feel like better quarterback play or more reliable quarterback play is that's the big story here with ASU football. Now, there's other areas where I think that they can maybe upgrade a little bit more. The spring transfer portal, the tight end position, they've got some guys that are reasonably talented, but the depth is not really good there. Graham Walden started sometimes at left tackle last year. He hasn't been cleared because of injury. So they got to get their left tackle situation, I think, sorted up a little bit more. Defensively, they look to be in good shape. They, for a team that lost a bunch of starters, the Sean Mallory, B.J. Green, they lost Trey Brown, one of their best linebackers. They lost Jordan Clark goes to Notre Dame, and they lost two of their top three corners, Roe Torrence, D. Ford. For a team that lost that many guys on defense, they have, in my opinion, either replaced them equivalently or even upgraded in a lot of respects. Now, maybe not quite with B.J. Green, but I feel like from the guys that they got, the bodies that they added up front, they have more depth, more size, more versatility that will perhaps be able to overcome that. So defensively, really great shape. Offensively, it's key positions, quarterback, left tackle, and then, lesser position tight end.
Chris, we know that it all starts at the top, and having an aligned leadership is always important for an athletic department. Arizona State's had their share of issues. Ray Anderson, obviously, back late last year, resigning, and there's this move now to the Big 12 after the Pac folded or collapsed in on itself. What's just sort of the feeling as far as the new era, I guess, that Arizona State's entering, new leadership, and just sort of where the school sits at the moment?
Well, fans are frustrated because it's taken a long time, and there's no really clear sense of movement. Michael Crow, the athletic director, the president of ASU, has he's had some public comments about trying to reform a lot of the models, bring athletics in some financial ways more intermingled with the school budget that he thinks will help resolve some of their financial challenges and make things a little bit easier. Now, there's a lot of buzz around the ASU athletic department that one of two people could be promoted to the athletic director who already work at ASU. One of them is Jim Run, who is the interim AD. He's an on-campus business and finance person, but this is his second stint as an interim AD. And then the possibility of a guy named Graham Rossini, who he's in marketing, does a lot of business deals, stadium rights, and some other sort of big corporate type stuff. A younger guy, he's an ASU graduate, was an ASU athlete. So some of those elements could perceivably make him appealing, even though he hasn't ever worked at other athletic departments at a really high level, never been a number one, two, or three person in a department, and not been a manager of a lot of people. So there's some questions, but there's a lot of buzz around the possibility of promoting, especially as some of the legitimately good candidates have gone to other schools. Like Chun went from Washington State to Washington. A lot of people thought he was would have been a great candidate for ASU. So I don't know what's going to happen. There's some conflicting information. People that talked to Michael Crow that I've spoken with have said that they're very much still in this phase where they're looking at a variety of options and considering an external hire or promotion. And I think we're going to know probably in May. Before that, from a domino standpoint, I think we're going to find out at least the first phase of this NCAA case with the infractions, the negotiated resolution, seems to be looming relatively imminent. It's hard to say exactly how quickly the NCAA moves so slow, but there's indicators from people I've talked to that this thing could happen within weeks, if not sooner. And it's a bifurcated process, so this is only one phase of the entire process. There's some additional coaches, a coach or more than one coach who opted out of this negotiated resolution, and they'll have their own case. So the very final findings from the NCAA is still months off, but that will be more related to a couple of individuals rather than the athletic department as a whole. And I think we'll have some reporting that it's starting to come together about, whatever specific punishments may fall on the school and on some of the coaches who participated.
Chris, thanks a lot. I know you got another meeting you got to get to. Thank you so much. Enjoy the Final Four weekend there in Phoenix as well. Should be awesome to go see all that. Chris, thanks for being on. That's Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.